As I got another rhyme, another rhythm for y'all to listen. I'm never quitting on my mission, I'ma roll with what I'm giving. Got some ambition, this new addition, filling positions. Looking at the void in myself and feeling what's missing. Better watch the way you're going, better go in the right direction. In the moment you stressing, but you gon' be counting blessings. And I know that for certain, keep on working, open curtains. Haters swerving, cause they ain't ready for your final version. Ooh. I'm never gon' give up, fall down, I just gotta get up, yeah.
You're listening to the Tom Thicken Show on WNHHLP 103.5 FM, your home for community radio.
Good morning and peace and blessings to everyone. No, this isn't Tom sitting here. This is Kator Bryant and
Jeanette Sykes.
All right. We are co-hosting Tom's show this morning. And we're hoping that he is up and about and feeling much, much stronger and better today.
Absolutely.
Yes. So our topic today is the Newhallville Hamden Stronger Together committee update for you. We've been on the show before, and you know some of our journey, but we're going to give you an opportunity to really hear more in depth about the journey and where we are today, and of the exciting celebration that we are planning for Thursday, March 14th. And Jeanette is going to give you a lot more details about that as we move through the program. Thursday, March 14th is going to be at Albertus Magnus at 831 Winchester Avenue. So we're going to give you really good details in a minute. So as we're going to get started, we're going to talk to you about our journey. And both of us are on the steering committee, and Jeanette is at the helm of the steering committee. We are so grateful. So Jeanette, let's talk about our humble beginnings of this adventure.
Yes, our humble beginning started, in 2022. Matter of fact, it was February and a nice cold day when we decided to do a rally. And that was the beginning of our involvement, the community involvement between two communities, Newhallville and Hamden. And then we began to consider, what is our mission? What do we want this to be, other than just us coming out and voicing that this is not an appropriate setting for our community? And I have to say, the community came forward. They told us and they voiced their opinion. We heard their opinion, and that's where the Newhallville Hamden Strong Committee began. We had great leaders, and we started putting all of them together and kind of come up with, what's the plan?
So what was the catalyst for us coming together on that extremely cold day? It was just unbelievably cold.
Yeah, we had many layers on, but we wanted to get the message out. And the point is, it's not about the weather. It was about the concern of our community, and the community definitely came forward. The elderly was in their cars and so forth. But our goal was to 794 Dixwell Avenue. That's where it began. And we understood that the app had purchased the building and wanted to dispense the methadone over there in that area. And we just felt like that wasn't a good setting for them, as well as for us. We wanted to make sure that anyone that's having treatment is going to be in an appropriate setting or environment so that they can get the necessary support that they need, as well as our community can have the necessary infrastructure that they need to have over there as well. As you know, as businesses over there on 794 Dixwell Avenue, we just started to build back that area and that community. And so that's what started the spark.
So that day we had close to almost 100 people out there.
Correct.
And I think it surprised a lot of people that the community was so aware And the work that we did to get them there was we did a bunch of leaf drops immediately and phone calls and things like that, that really energized the community. And I think it piqued their curiosity as to what is really going on, because they really had no clue. So part of our job was education of the community. Say a little bit more about that.
So, I mean, we was able to have community involvement, greatly enrichment around the community involvement. But, you know, what's your investment? You know, and that's what we want to talk about. What was the investment to the community? We had we had virtual meetings, emails, conversation over the phone and so forth. And everybody understood that they knew that the education around, you know, the areas that we was talking about was not suitable. So they came aboard. And so our official, our elected officials, our local officials, we made sure that we had them involved. We had conversation. There were so many meetings that took place throughout that that time frame. As you can see, it was the, February 2022, and now we're into February, almost March now. It's March of 2024. So that's the long period of time. But when you're doing a movement, it's not about time. It's about the process and the mission. What was our mission? Our mission was to get the information out to the community, educate them, also educate our surrounding towns, because our surrounding towns was very supportive of our act. We went to every community management team, presented to them. And I'm sure you've heard this, but we just want to update because it's been a couple of years. And that was phase one. Phase one was very important to keep everybody energized and also to keep them informed. We met with the city of New Haven, the mayors, the two mayors, the mayor of the city of New Haven and the mayor of Hamden, and kept them involved as well. So everybody surrounding was understanding of what this act took place. And so then we decided that we had a mission.
Yes, we did.
We had a mission, and our mission was to keep it going, keep the understanding that the community, our constituents said, listen, leaders, we do not want to compromise on this. This is not something that would be suitable for that area. And we want you guys to bring that forth with all the people that made the decision to come there.
Right. So I know that it was a really exciting time in the community. And it was really a buy-in of so many layers of the community. We had individuals that we really were trying to enhance their motivation as well as their skill set. So not everybody was a talker. Not everybody was a writer. Not everybody was a researcher to try to find out what was going on, what rights did we have on this, on the city level, the state level, and even the federal level to a large degree. We commended our state legislatures. They got in there really, really quickly. And there was the conversations with Representative Tony
Walker.
And she was our liaison to talk to the public health department of the state of Connecticut, as well as the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services, because all of those were players within this entity that possibly would have a voice as to what the movement was going to be. We had Representative Gary Winfield. He was he's a state senator, so he was on the Senate side investigating for us. How would the machine work from that angle? And then we had boots on the ground as well with Representative Robin Porter. And throughout the entire process, she was quite vocal and quite verbal. And she was at, I would say, 99% of our meetings, educating us on the process and bringing information back from her colleagues that are, were in the state legislature that influenced or impacted not only New Haven, but Hamden as well. So that was that one layer that we had. And then you talked a little bit about, Jeanette, on the city level.
Yeah, we had a lot of layers on the city level because we needed to understand the process as well. We learned a lot because we need to know about zoning. What's the appropriate of zoning? How do you prepare for zoning if something comes to their area? And so that's what we really started working with the community. When we had the meetings, we also made sure that we presented and had workshop, because you can't understand it unless you are being educated about what that looks like, you know. And so we made sure that all of us was educated around zoning, what's appropriate for zoning and what's not. When do people have to go to zoning for approval? And what is the two stages of how they do? And so we made sure that we contact them. They came aboard and gave us workshops and let us understood what that looked like. Then we met with the mayor of the city of New Haven as well, numerous occasions. And he's a good champion. He took every one of our meetings and our calls. And we wanted to make sure that it wasn't about anything other than the community and the community getting educated around, is this appropriate for us? And when we found out it wasn't, then we moved to the next level of our phase. That's why if you see the flyer, you'll see phase one and then you'll see phase two. Phase one was just our mission. It was a lot of things happening in that melting pot of our mission. And then we went to phase two. And phase two really talked about how and now do we need to stay aboard? Do we need to stay committed? And then what does the committee look like? We had an awesome committee. There's the leaders from both, the representatives from Hamden as well as from Newhallville. And every Thursday we was meeting for almost a year. And then we started meeting every other Thursday. And so we made sure that we checked in. We had texts going on. No, not one person knew. If the team didn't know about it, then nobody knew about it. So we made sure everybody was educated, even within the group itself. And everybody brought different experiences to the table. And that's what's great, to have different type of leaders coming from different places, because someone have connections on this area. So they brought it in and then gave workshops. And then we went to all of the committees and the CMTs, and we talked to them about what our stance was, and we let them know what our understanding, our constituents, and what they wanted. So everybody was noticed.
What
everybody
about those Saturday meetings, girl?
Oh yeah, those Saturday.
Don't forget those, because
yes,
that was another chunk of time.
That was a lot of chunk of time. We was preparing anything that we do during the week. We had a Zoom meeting with our community. The two communities got together, and we presented everything to them, and they asked questions. So that was every Saturday for almost a year as well. And then we went from every other Saturday. And in between that, we had so many rallies, so many conversations.
Petitions.
We had lots of petitions. We did door knocking. Door knocking was really great.
It was.
Because it really educated us to have conversation with our neighbors. I learned a lot from neighbors on the other side, because I'm on one end of Newhallville. And there's other ends when you do Dixwell Avenue. It's like a split, one side of Newhallville and the other side. Well, we need to know what both sides look like. And this gave all of us opportunity to know what both sides look like. And both sides came aboard.
So I think the most important thing was our transparency and how important that piece is for community engagement. Because if people don't know and they don't understand, or they feel like they're not getting the information from leadership, we put ourselves out there that, you know, we are this committee, I think it would have had a whole different kind of an experience. And the broader community, I remember the meeting that we had at Lincoln Bassett. That one was
That
very
was awesome.
well attended and it was impactful. And you brought in a group.
I brought in a
We
group
did.
that a group that was experienced and learning of teaching us and also understand to take notes around the community manifestations and what is it that we're looking for. Because if you don't know what you want, then you can't express to your leaders. And so we want to make sure that that was a big formed. And so we had people to come in. Kathy Townsend came in with her team, and they did a marvelous job. And we was able to use that information, and we're still using it because we had like five phases of a mission, of recommendations. What do you look like? What is our community should be looking like for you? What is the investment that you're going to do for this community? And when you invest, then what happens? Then we get the rewards at the end and so forth on many occasions because you get to understand what's happening. And also now we get to invest with our people as well. And so we did that and we took that information and a lot of things came out of that group, which we'll be talking about in another phase of phase four. We're in phase three now. So we had a group that started off one way, but we're not going to close out our group until we finish all the phases. And also to make sure that our community is better off than it was when we
Absolutely.
first started. And I think because when I knocked on doors, I heard the people and they said, you know, nothing's going to get done. They don't listen to us. They don't hear us. We say something, nothing's going to get done. And I said, well, you know what? You know, if you give up, then nothing will get done. But if you stay in the game, then something will, they will at least hear you and so forth. So, and that's what we did. We encourage our people to understand that people are listening. People are listening, but you have to do your work. It's the
Exactly.
investment. You know,
Right.
if I give you a dollar and you put it in your pocket, you only got to have a dollar.
That's right.
But if you invest it, then it can go further along. And so that's what we wanted them to understand. And they did. It was a lot of work. You know, we talked about how much everybody participated in. We told everybody is this is a working group. So if you want to have a vacation, this is not
This
the
is
group
not
to
the
be
one
in.
for you.
No, this is not the one because every time something happened, we was there and represented this group. And I am so proud of this group because they took the helm and they ran with it. You know, we did marathons. We kept tagging each one to make sure that things was done. And I think the community is proud of this group.
Absolutely. Well, the thing that was in the middle of all of what we were doing was the fact that we had an election year. So that was another opportunity to educate the community and to encourage them to go to different gatherings of the politicians that were going to have a say or some input into our community. That was fun to just be able to go and to voice our opinion and to see what their response was, which was really equally as important. But I think the most important piece was that when we would bring somebody with us or they would show up, that they felt empowered that maybe our voice does matter. Maybe people are listening to us. And I think that if nothing else comes out of this experience that they have had is that yes, your voice matters. Yes, your voice can be heard. It may take some energy for you to be in those spaces for your voice to be heard, but as we are rolling into this thing, it has all been so worth it. It has definitely been worth it. And to be able to hear people's ideas about what if you could do something with this space, what would we do with it? And that has been pretty exciting as well. Not only from the individuals that had expressed interest in the space to purchase the space, but particularly for us as a community, because I think, we live in a city where institutions in this city, historically, they have 50 to 100 year plans. Our community, oftentimes, because we are often stressed or distressed about economics or just about the environment that we find ourselves in, that we don't particularly have that vision about, well, what do I want to be doing? And do I want to even be in my home in 15 or 20 years? And what might that look like? And we discovered that we had a number of renters, but they also were really committed to saying, if I'm going to be here to rent, then this is what I want the community to look like as well. So I really appreciated that part of the influence that this particular movement, as you describe it, had on the community. It gave us vision. It gave us the idea that, yeah, we can have a vision. We can think about some things that we would like to see in this community. And at that meeting, people talked about safe parks and wanting more green space and having more social space that our community could gather. The other partnership that we experienced was that of law enforcement. So perhaps you could just say a little bit about that.
Well, and law enforcement, we had a lot around safe communities, and everyone gave detailed information around how do we communicate, how do we get our law enforcement connections back. Because we used to have a lot of great community policing, and I know it's coming back in the place. So this is can help lined up with everything else, because now when we know that we have to be involved and we have to have communication around what is needed or what is happening, maybe in one area of our community might not be needed in another area, but something different might be. So we live here, so we understand what that looks like. And so they was able to be there, and they heard that. Matter of fact, they was at every meeting that we've had in person, and so they was able to understand. And throughout that, lots of stuff happened, and things on their table, on their end, was able to go and say, "Hey, this is what they're saying," and so forth. We had about seniors. We talked about the youth. We talked about the development. We talked about people coming out of incarceration. What does that look like for our community? We need to invest back into them, and so forth. They're not alone. They're with us. They're supporting. And so we talked about early childhood education. So we have that 10-year plan now that we didn't have before. And so out of that 10-year plan is bullets underneath each one of them, and bullet points underneath each one of them, saying, "Hey, okay, we have this. Now we have five underneath there." So that 10-year plan now can be 20-year plan, and so that is exciting. It's just that we didn't start off with, "We're just going to do this rah rah rah," and then nothing else would get done. Everything is in place right now for us to move forward and have a healthier communities.
Okay, then we have a comment from one of our listeners, and it's from the NCNW, National Council for Negro Women. And their comment to us is, "Excellent model of successful community action. Lots of work, but worth it. Hopefully there will be greater respect from powerful institutions." And I think that's a truth. We are, I think, all, whenever you assemble people and they have come with a unified voice, that translates into a voting bloc.
Correct.
And let's just be real about it. So therefore, it's like, okay, I think we need to listen to what these individuals have to say. And We need all of the organizations like the National Council of Negro Women. We need the NAACP. We need Perfect Blend. We need Zola. We need all of those entities that are in our community. And it was wonderful to see the diversity of those kind of entities in our community, so that when we're doing these plannings, we want meeting spaces so that those kind of organizations can meet in the community and be responsive to the community, services that people are providing. That if we had a central place, because Newhallville is a really, really kind of an interesting spot. We are geographically, we are in a prime space. Like we have all of the colleges basically in New Haven are within a 3 mile radius of Newhallville. You can get downtown to Gateway. You can go over the hill to Yale. You can go down the street to Southern. You can go halfway up the hill to Albertus. So that put us in a prime space. You could be, we're 3 miles from the Hampton Plaza, but there are things that we do not have,
Correct.
like emergency medical care.
Correct.
We have to, or even just urgent, or just
Urgent care.
walk-in
Walk in,
care.
yeah.
We have to go to Hill Health Center at
Dixwell.
Dixwell or the Yale campus that used to be St. Rayfield's for anything that was
Just
other
basic
than
care.
exactly.
Right. And I think they did a survey, Data Haven did a survey on our community years back. And I pulled that up because I always want to understand what the data looks like, because now you need, if you're going to get it, what are you going to do with it? You know, and I always talk about investments. That's the investment again. And I realize is that, you know, we were high rate in a lot of health areas, but yet we don't have the infrastructure to support that. And so one of the things we want to do is do that. And that was one of the highest thing on our list as well, coming out of that meeting. And so moving forward, those things will be assessed as well. And we'll try to make sure we put a plan together, because that's what makes a healthy community. Restaurants, we have to go outside if we want to meet with someone. I mean, I was meeting with so many people throughout this 2 year span. And so we had to go, you know, out of it. It's okay to go to the South Hampton because that's the part of our group. But outside of those areas, we had nothing for us to do. And so those are the kind of things that we're looking at. What about a healthy a grocery store? You know, healthy grocery store. I mean, I'm trying to eat better now myself. And so I have to go outside of the community where if I just wanted something to make for that day, I can't do it. You know, I can have a fast food, but I can't have the other healthy things that this community needs to have. And so throughout all of that, we came up with all of these things. And that's exciting because sometimes a movement starts one way, and then as they start to pivot, it pivots into other. You have to pivot. You have to pivot. No matter what, you have to, because at that point, you have to understand is that this is just one entity that we're working on. But what is the bigger picture? What is the bigger picture for our community? I live here. I've always invested in my community. And I think a lot of others have done the same. And so we're going to be here. So do we want it to continue to not have a legacy? I want to have a legacy. I work with kids for over 30 plus years. And I know that I'm working for their legacy because somebody did it for us. And that's why we're in the condition and in the situation and support where we are right now, to be able to gather people together and talk to people about the next steps. And excited about celebrating our next step as well. I mean, even if it's baby steps, it's steps that you're
That's
taking.
right. That's right.
And I think for us, it was a great amount step because we needed to gather the people, we need to educate them, we need to help them understand that their voice matters. And so that's why we're here. And so each time we started, each year, we started moving the needle to what is the next, excuse me, the next
Right.
two steps.
And I think that to really get people to understand the a benefit of being patient. That was probably the challenge, because we are in this instant gratification world.
Microwave.
Exactly. And it was like, well, what are you doing? And some people even thought that it was that we weren't successful in our efforts. And some people thought that it was over. And they didn't even, when we say, well, what do you think happened? And they had no idea as to what over meant.
Right.
And so we really have had to, because I think that oftentimes, particularly in communities that are somewhat challenged, the patience is really thin, because you get distracted into survivorship, right? And so we really had to continue to keep putting things out there, calling a rally, calling a meeting, participating in this. In during the summer was a great time, because we participated in some of the activities that were in the community spaces that they were having. Some of them that Arts and Ideas sponsored on Shelton Avenue in that
Inspired
community space.
They sponsor some.
And then we conducted our own. We said, we're having this meeting at Lincoln Bassett, just as an update. The last time that we were at Alberta's, we had food, which is always a good draw for people to come. Not elaborate food, but just a little nourishment, because most of the time our meetings are around dinner time, around 6 o'clock, and people are coming from work. And to be really aware of that. And culturally, we know that our communities, we like to eat, and we talk about breaking bread all the time. And that's an important piece. And we recognize that.
And we also had at our last Alberta Magnus event, informational tables as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that was great. And then we can have it as again, we're going to talk about our March 14th event. So if you are participating and are working or have any kind of connection to Newhallville or the South Hampden, we have a table where you can bring your information and we can dispense it that way. That's another form of every time we have meetings, people need to know what's happening in the community. And so forth. If there's programs for youth, then bring it. If there's program for elderly, then bring it. And if just generally
families.
For family, for women, for men, for training workshop, please bring the information, because we will definitely have tables there as well.
So let's talk a little bit about the 14th, because that is going to, the buzz has really gotten started. We've been doing leaf drops. We've been talking at different organizations, sending out information. I know that the person who was our point person for the citywide management team, I spoke with him yesterday, that he's going to make every effort to be there on the 14th. And I think that is the important piece, is that this was not a Newhallville issue. It wasn't a South Hampden issue. It was a community issue. And when I say community, I'm talking about the community of Greater New Haven, even, because we had people that were supporting us from Wallingford. We had people supporting us from West Haven and North Haven, in addition to Hampden and New Haven. We had someone that sent sentiments of support from Guilford. And so it was really a really a coming together that showed us from the ground up what is the power of community from the ground up. Because if we had just said to the powers, quote unquote, the powers that be, and we didn't do anything after that, then it would not have, I don't think that it would have made the impact. Nothing would have changed. We would have been in a real serious situation, because they respond to the community's voice. And if the community's voice is silent, then their thing is, Well, I guess the community is okay with what's going on. And that is what we want people to understand. You have to find your voice.
Right.
And if it's something that is of concern for you, then there, go to your management teams,
yes.
go to your elected officials,
right.
call downtown,
right.
Call your ward committee
right,
chairs.
Right.
And say, look, I have this concern.
Right.
First stop would be your alderperson.
Right.
Go to your alderperson. And then if that isn't impactful, go to your community management team. And if that isn't impactful, call downtown.
Right.
Right? So that your voice can be heard. And that was one of the things that we tried to educate the community about, is that there are levels of people that you can contact and make aware of something that is truly, truly important to you.
Right.
Because otherwise, how we would not know. It was interesting for us how the once we saw that that thing in the newspaper, that it just created this, it was almost like a
24 hours.
It was in 24 hours, right? So it was like that phone tree.
Yeah, yes.
It was like, did you see that? Did you see that?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So it created this phone tree. And it was like, whoa, wait a minute.
Right.
Right.
And that's when it began.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And also for our leaders as well, is that if you don't go to them and have conversation, then how would they know?
Right.
You know, I mean, they are elected for you.
Yep.
You know, and you voted for them. So just have a conversation with them. You know, I call them all the time or text them and so forth. But they need to hear from everyone and then stuff. And I do believe that they want to do that. You know, so even with your just takes a minute to go to your management teams and hear what's happening. A lot of stakeholders come in. They do presentations. They talk about what they want to do in your community. And so you need to be there to hear those things. A lot of times they don't farm out to everybody because they don't have your emails or they don't have your information. And just with us, I mean, we have emails and conversation with everyone and texts. And are we going to use that afterwards? Well, we'll get your permission. And then if you want to hear what the third phase and the fourth phase is going to be, because there are going to be phases. And I think out of this, a lot of planning, a lot of things, infrastructure is coming out of this. And we need everyone to stay at the table. We have a table.
Yes,
yeah, we have
do.
A table.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we have a table. And you can bring your chair. Yeah, but we have a table.
That's right.
And so we need to make sure that we stay at the table to have conversation with everyone. We talk from the city to
the governor
and to the local. Yeah, we went through two elections, so they quite understand that we are here. We invested in our community. We understand that we have to work everything. We're not going to get everything, but we're going to get some things. And you know, if we stay at the table, we continue to get more things.
That's right.
That's what we want.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about
March 14th. Okay. March 14th, 6 o'clock at Alberta Magnus. Well, this is we're celebrating our first and second phase. So we're going to be giving everybody a highlight because sometimes people come, they don't. So we want to catch everyone up to speed. And then we're going to talk about our third phase. We have the building is being sold. It is pending. They're getting ready to close by the end of this month, no later than the 1st of April. So I think that's a milestone as well. And then we thank all parties that be that made that happen.
Absolutely.
And so we want to share that information. The owners of that building is going to be there at the event. And they're going to talk about some of the phases, some of the things that they had to get to this point to be able to be marketable and wanted to buy this purchase this building. And then the community, is going to have a couple of sessions with them around what is it that the community recommendations could be and appropriate things for the building as well. And they're open for that conversation. And so we want to make sure that that happens so that New Hallville-Hamden Stronger Committee will be hosting those two focus groups. And we want to make sure that everyone comes out and voice their opinion. Now, voicing your opinion does not necessarily mean that it's going to happen, but we're going to put all of it together because it comes around funding. Everything's around, you know, we got to turn the lights on, but that costs money. So we would just want to make sure that we have a phase. But if that's not it, might be into phase two. Like ours now, we have a 10-year plan, and we're going to share those plans as well throughout these process of meetings. But I'm excited that they will be here on March 14th to give us some more update and more information. And then we're going to have our the two mayors, the mayor of City of New Haven and also the mayor of Hamden, both are going to be there to give us update and support around what's happening in both our community as well. We always need updates on what's happening because we know that their schedules are so busy. But we want them to understand that New Hallville and Hamden is still here as well. So, yeah, so please come out. And
we're going to have, we're going to also highlight our community partners.
Yes.
Going to give them an opportunity to stand up and say a few words. It's not going to be long, we promise. We're going to have some refreshments.
Yes.
So,
always got to have the food.
You got to always have to have something to refresh us.
Yeah.
So be sure that you come for that.
Informational table.
We're going to have an information table. And like we said, if you have an event that is going to be happening, like within the next, you know, even into the summer.
Right.
To bring that so that the community members that come
right.
will be able to take them and be aware of them and put them on their calendars. So we're going to have that. If you have a service that you want the community to know about, bring a flyer or one-page informational flyer for all that your agency does and what it can provide and what's the age group that that of the services that you provide. All of those things are important for the community cohesion, community support, because they're, you know, things have changed like a lot with the, even with the Department of Social Services and the funding that has come to different community-based agencies. If you are a person or an entity that provides grants to nonprofits or to for-profit agents organizations, please bring your have someone bring that information there too, because we oftentimes with in this community, sometimes we're the last ones to hear about these grant opportunities. And maybe it may be something that you may even want to bring to the community and present as a workshop. Like, how do you apply for grant money? Like, what is that process like? And we know that there's some agencies that do provide that kind of information, but that means you're already engaged with them. Perhaps if you're listening, that you'll want to contact us, and that will be a training that we can do that says that this is the process and these are your resources, perhaps.
And if you have, if you're hiring, that would be another opportunity for our communities, the two communities, to get that information right up at front as well. So there's a lot of great information that can be provided. And so we're trying to just keep the door and the information open. So everybody will have the same, you know, the same opportunity.
Yeah.
The same.
And if you are at school, what kind of educational financial grants? We're looking for grants. We're trying to keep people out of debt as far as far as education goes. But and if you have a trade school, I mean, we really are trying to encourage our people, our young people and our older people, our seasoned people, to really think about a trade that they may want to become engaged in, because you can do a trade and go to college. That's how I worked my way through college.
Me
I was
too.
a nurse's aide when I was in high school, actually. Back in the day, you could be in high school, right? And then every semester break while I was at UConn and every summer, I knew I had a job. So it was wonderful. It was
And we have
good.
to get that back for our kids as well. I know some of the schools, one that I know that in New Haven is starting with the CNA, and we all are working towards that to work with them. And it's a stage. Maybe the CNA, the phlebotomy, they want to do PSA, PCAs, and then they want to go into nursing school. That's all a great opportunity for our kids to be able to see the steps.
That's
And so that's
correct.
what we want to do, to make sure it's at the table so that they can. Remember, we talked about that table. That table's going to be big. It's okay. We can have a long table
We have a
with all
long
this
table.
information, because you know why?
Yes.
We have everyone comes with different everything. Everybody's come with a different opportunity or different thoughts or different things that they want to have. And so we want to meet all of their needs.
Yes.
Yeah,
And I
meet
think
with their
that we
match.
should keep that in mind about all of the entities sitting at a table, and I always picture a circular table because that means that there's no head of the table and that we are all in partnership with uplifting not only the neighborhoods, but the greater New Haven community, so that there's a partnership here, that we all have a buy-in to making sure that this is a wonderful place for everybody to live, not just, in certain parts of the zip code of the city, but that no matter what neighborhood that you're in, that you are going to be safe and comfortable and the housing stock is going to be secured. That's all anybody wants. And so
And
that's our goal.
that is our goal. And I think one of the others too is that the Newhallville Hamden Strong Committee started like that as well. We started with working with everyone. I mean, it's pretty equal. Obviously, you have to have a chair, someone to keep it going, but everything came to the meeting. We discussed it. What part you want to play, what part you want to take on, what is this your experience? Can you connect with this? So all of that came around our meetings, and I think that was another great opportunity for us to have in our meetings, so that we can get to see it. If you don't do it, you can't live it, and you can't talk about it with our constituents if we're not going to model it. If we are fighting and if we are having all these things and disagreements and stuff, and we can't come to, okay, you have a disagreement, but okay, happy medium, what can we meet in the middle with? And so that's, I think this committee started with that. Everything went out the window. Here's where we are, and this is what our focus is. And we did that for 2 years. And I commend the group for that as well.
And I thought it was phenomenal that people could actually, it is humanly possible to leave your ego at the doorstep. And because then everybody was on the same page and everybody was in lockstep that this is the event that we are dealing with today. Not to say that there are not other things that are out there, but that was a crisis point for us because that could have tipped the neighborhood and the community in both town and city in a direction that nobody really wanted to go in. And we're just eternally grateful for all of the input that any and everybody did. So we do want you to come on Thursday to this celebration. And I'm one that I like to celebrate the big things and the small things. And I think being in my profession, if my whole stance was, if I move the needle in a positive direction, even a fraction of an inch, that is going to make a major difference in that
Correct.
person's life. So
Absolutely.
I'm not so much for the huge wins, although it takes, how do you fill a bucket of water? One drop at a time, right? So I will take this as a good splash of water in that bucket. For us to be able to truly celebrate and celebrate the what unity truly looks like in a community that oftentimes is discounted and historically may be said that, oh, that we won't be able to pull this off. We won't be able to come together as a unit. We won't. But that's not true. And it never has been true. And so we have to also defy the myths and not buy into those myths. So, yeah. Wow. We got about two more minutes. If you guys, anybody has a comment or question that you want to ask us really quickly, just put it in the chat. Harry will get that information to us. So remember, we will see you this Wednesday, March 14th, 2024, at 6 o'clock. 6 to 8. We're going to keep it short and sweet. We will have some information. We'll have food, and if you come to 831 Winchester Avenue, what's the name of the building? What's the name of the hall? I know that it's right next to the gym.
Yes.
So
right, it's Yes. Winchester and Newhall come into that year, that parking lot right there. And it's on the flyer. We can definitely send it out. It's on. It's been on Facebook. It's on quite a bit, so you'll get to see all of that as well. And also, it just pass it on. And if you know people in these in the two communities, then just let them know what's happening. And let them know that they should come out. If they just arrived in the community, this will be a great time for them to get to know everyone's there. And then we're also going to do a shout out to the Newhallville Hamden Strong Committee.
Yes,
we're going to talk about them a little more because I know when you see one or two, but there's a lot that goes on the connecting with us and everything. There's that link. And so we want to talk and highlight and shout out to them as well for hanging in there for the 2 years that they have hung in there. Yes.
That went fast. Almost as fast as that 2 years we've been hanging out. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And I think we are going to be signing off. Thank you,
everybody.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you.
As I got another rhyme, another rhythm for y'all to listen. I'm never quitting on my mission. I'ma roll with what I'm giving. Got some ambition, this new addition, filling positions. Looking at the void in myself and feeling what's missing. Better watch the way you're going. Better go in the right direction. In the moment you stressing, but you gon' be counting blessings. And I know that for certain. Keep on working, open curtains. Haters swerving, cause they ain't ready for your final version. Whoa. I'm never gon' give up, fall down. I just gotta get up, yeah.
You're listening to the Toxic and Show on WNHH LP 103.5 FM. Your home.